In the book of Psalms, chapter 37, verse 25, we'll read that in just a moment. As I said this morning, Pastor Mati called over and told me about the worker in Tibonbon that wanted to go to Bible school. And here is a man that is 70 years old. I didn't say 17, I said 70. And the ironic thing about it is, his pastor seemed to think that he could do the job. He could go to Bible school. I think many times we limit what God can do because we have a mental block and we fit certain things into that. Yesterday my son John called, and the reason he called was that he wanted to inform me that my Aunt Pauline, who is very close to me, she had a heart attack and they flew her to Wichita. And at that time, they were contemplating open heart surgery to give her, I think it was a triple bypass, and she is over 80 years old. And John said the doctors checked her over and said there's no reason why they shouldn't, because she is as strong as a horse. She's worked on the farm all of her life, and work has been her life. And so I want you to pray for my Aunt Pauline, because she's very dear to me, and I would appreciate your prayers. But back to the brethren over in Mati. This man is 70 years old, and he is being recommended by Brother Ingai to go to Bible school. Brother Ingai came to Bible school, and we almost did not let him in Bible school because he was too young. He was barely 16. Just 16 years old. But he convinced me that God had called him to preach. He has never unconvinced me. And so, even this week, I've had people to tell me, when I'm talking to them about things of the Lord, why they give me this "I'm too old" or "I'm too young" type of a excuse. And I've noticed that in many things we are never too old or too young. I mean, there's many things. I'm always amazed at how that people can't come on Sunday night, but they can go to night school every night of the week. I observe that people have a difficult time in going out to prayer meeting at night. Oh, you know, my arthritis, and I'm getting old, and let somebody die, and they spend every night at the funeral parlor. We do what we want to do. Certainly there are illnesses and sicknesses and situations that come up in our life that we're not able to do many of the activities that we did before. But the problem is that it seems that it is never the right time to either be saved, or if we're saved already, so many, it is never the right time to serve the Lord. There are many people that are saved, go to church, but it is never the right time. They never have the opportunity to witness to somebody, to talk to them about the Lord, to get involved in the things of the Lord. And that's what our message is about tonight, is does age matter? Over in Psalms 37, And verse 25, David said, I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Our Father in heaven, speak to our hearts tonight. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. We thank you for the opportunity to be in the house of God tonight. We thank you for the opportunity of having what strength and what wisdom and what opportunities and what positions we have. We thank you, Lord, and help us to be used as you would have us to be used in these places that we find ourselves in. With the amount of strength, with whatever talents we have, whatever our situation is, help us, dear Lord, to compare where we are as far as others are concerned, and help us to use what we have for thee. Bless, we pray, this service. If there is anyone here tonight that has never yet been saved, help them to know that today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. We that are thy children, help us to realize how short our life is, how short our time is, and how little our opportunities may be in the future. Dear God, bless tonight. Speak to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, we find in the Old Testament, I want us to see how God used the too young, people that were too young. I say too young because some may be here today and you happen to be older than these people were, and yet you say you are too young. And we find that too young is not a good terminology, because in the Old and in the New Testament, I thrill at the stories of God using people that were young. In the book of Genesis, chapter 37, we find that Joseph, Jacob's son, not Pete's son, but Jacob's son. Not Pete Abella's son, but Jacob's son. Joseph. He was about 17 years old. 17 years old. And I don't believe that he had never been used of the Lord, or that he did not do anything, or he wasn't ready to be used of the Lord. I just believe that's the time that God wanted to start using Joseph. In Genesis chapter 37, Genesis 37, I've got 17. Genesis 37, verse 2, we find this statement. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock of his brethren. And it goes on down how that Joseph brought back to his father their evil report. Now, we find that during this time, Joseph dreamed a dream in verse 5 and told it to his brethren. And they hated him. They hated him even more than they did before. And then he said, I want you to hear my dream. And he tells the dream. And these dreams that he had were not dreams that he dreamed up, but it was dreams that God was giving him on what the future was going to be. And Joseph did not understand it all. He just told it as a matter of fact, how that these sheaves out in the field, they bowed down to him. And then he had another dream about the sun, moon, and the stars. And they bowed down to him. And that even got his dad to give him a gentle rebuke, because it was a prophecy how that Joseph was going to rise above all of them. And yet we find how that God used Joseph, how that he resisted evil, after they put him in a pit. They sold him to be a slave, and he became a slave in Egypt. He was tempted of his master's wife. He was not guilty, but he resisted evil, and he spent 13 years in prison for a crime that he had not committed. Yet he did not get bitter. He let God use him. He became the second in command in Egypt, and he led the children of Israel, or rather he provided a place for the children of Israel there in Egypt. Then over in Exodus chapter 2, we find that God not only used a young man about 17 years old, but according to Exodus chapter 2, and in verse 4 through 8, after Moses was born, it says, "And his sister," this is Miriam, "his sister stood afar off to wit what was done with him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the bank of the river." And of course they found the box that Moses was in, and the babe wept right at the right time. And then in verse 7, "Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?'" And so here was the story of how that God used Miriam. I have no idea how old she was. Moses was a babe. I didn't have time to search down and see if the rest of the scripture gave us any difference between the age of Moses and his sister and his brother Aaron. We know that Miriam and Aaron were both older than Moses. Moses was the baby brother. And we find that God used Miriam. There would be no Moses if it had not been for Miriam. There would not have been a D.L. Moody if it had not been for a shoe salesman that had won him to Jesus Christ. We find that God uses small people. God uses unimportant people. God uses little people. God uses young people. You take in 1 Samuel chapter 1, as we turn over there to the story of Samuel. In 1 Samuel, in chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1, after the book of Judges, we find Ruth, and then we find Samuel. I think it's right. We find Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 25, it tells how that Hannah had prayed for a child, and God gave her a child. And she made a faith promise. She said, "Lord," said, "I'm going to trust you for a son, and when he comes, I'm going to give him to thee." Now, many people use this for baby dedication. But if you're going to dedicate your babies, why, you have to bring your baby to the church and leave your baby there. That is what Hannah did to Samuel. He was probably between 1 and 2 years old. That's when she was weaned him. "For this child have I prayed. The Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worship the Lord there." And it goes on down and tells how that this was just a small child. Chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat, and brought it to him year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice." Every year she brought him a coat. Don't you know that was a very special time for her? You talk about a faith promise. Each year it had to be a little bigger. Each year there was a little increase. And I can just imagine that when she was making that coat, She was trying to visualize, now how big did my boy get this year? And she'd make him a coat. And I'm sure, like homemade coats, why some were too small and some were too big. But there was a coat that she had made every year. It shows that he was a little one. Look at verse 33 in chapter 2, verse 33. And the man of whom, that's not the right one. That's chapter 3, I'm sorry, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Now he was still a child. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. You know, when we have service after service and no one gets saved, that bothers me because something is wrong somewheres. Sometimes we're the ones that decide when things are good and when things are not so good. But I'll guarantee you, the best way to tell when things are not good and when things are good is when God is moving and when people are being saved, people are following their Lord in the waters of baptism. I consider that a good sign. Whenever we have service after service after service and nobody gets saved, and it begins to be kind of cold down here at the altar, we find here that in the day of Samuel, when he was a child, the ministry of Eli was coming to the point that there was no open vision in that time. And we find that God began to use Samuel. In verse 2, and when it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." And he said, "I didn't call you, go back to bed." And then the Lord again, verse 6, called him. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I call not, my son, lay down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called unto Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Now Eli was not only getting dim in his human natural vision, but he was also getting dim in his perception. He was not quick to perceive that God was moving and God was speaking. And this, my friend, is a point of spirituality. When you are close to the Lord, you are quick to perceive an opportunity from the Lord, or a warning from the Lord, a danger point, or a point of opportunity. You begin to perceive these things from the Lord. And Eli finally perceived it, and he said, "Go lie down, and if it be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And I'll bet he didn't go to sleep. "For the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" Now I'm sure that if God spoke to some of us in the middle of the night, we'd hide under the bed, or we'd crawl under our benig, or whatever we could find. And we might have reason to. "And the Lord said unto Samuel, 'Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle.'" And he goes on down and tells what was going on. And then we find that in verse 21, "And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh." And we find here that this was but a child that he was coming to Eli. God spoke to him. Then there's the story of David. You remember how that when David was a young man, how old was David when he killed the giant? Far as I know, there's no place in the Bible that tells us how old he was. I've heard preachers preach all the way from 6 years to 20 years. I do not know, but I do know that he was more of a lad. A child is not a lad. A lad is a little older. And it depends on what country you might be in as far as some of these English words and their translations would be. But we do know that he was young. He was the youngest. The eldest boys were out there. David was the youngest. He was the baby of the family. And I'm sure his big brothers thought he would never be able to do anything. And when he came out to do battle, he brought them something to eat, which they appreciated, but they did not appreciate him giving them advice and chiding them because this uncircumcised Philistine heathen was challenging the God of Israel. Why don't somebody go out and do that? And they said, oh, I know the naughtiness of your heart, that you've left those few sheep in the wilderness to fend for themselves. And they were scolding him, telling him to mind his own business. And he assured them that that ought not be. And he went up to the king and he said, let me go out and I'll talk to him. I'll negotiate with him. Now, how was David going to negotiate with him? Well, Saul said, he said, you can't do that. He said, this Goliath is a giant. He's not only a giant, but he is a warrior from his youth up. And you are just a youth. It gives you a little idea of what it was. And so David said, never mind, Hindibali. He said, when I was keeping my father's sheep, he said, there was one time a bear came out, another time a lion came out. I can just feature Saul looking at him and saying, now, you've been eating too much ponset and having nightmares. You're just stretching this one. You're telling stories that never did happen. You know, people do that sometimes. They tell stories that never happened. And so Saul looked at him and said, well, said, if you've made up your mind to go out and get yourself killed, at least put my helmet on and take my armor and take my sword. So he got his helmet on, or he took and he put that armor on, and he put the helmet on his head, and he couldn't see anymore because it came down like an oversized football helmet. And he couldn't pick up his sword. And he put it off and he said, I haven't tried these. That's a good excuse, David, because they don't fit. And I want you to know that when God wants you to do something, don't expect to do it with someone else's talent and somebody else's opportunities, someone else's armor. Don't try to do God's work with somebody else's equipment. David said, I haven't tried it. And he went down to the river and he picked up 5 smooth stones and he put them in his bag. And he had a sling in his hand. He had tried that sling. He knew how to operate that sling. And the giant looked at him and said, what am I? Am I a dog that they will send out a stripling like you? Said, I'll feed you to the birds. And he cursed David with his gods, and he cursed the God of Israel. And David said, you come to me in the name of your gods, and I come to you in the name of the Lord my God. And with that, he dropped him. He wound that sling up and he turned it loose, And it ran right between his running lights, right between his headlights. And it sunk into his forehead. And he dropped like a ton of lead. That's where it comes. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. And he fell. David ran over there before anybody could do anything about it. Even the man's armor bearer ran away. David pulled out his sword, whacked off his head, and took it back in a charger. I'll bet that was all he could do. Goliath must have had long hair, because I doubt if David could have carried it. He probably had to drag it on the ground. With old Goliath's eyes blinking big and his tongue hanging out and his jugular vein all bloody there. Can't you imagine what a bloody mess that was? But God used David. God used David, and God can use you. And it may not be just according to all niceties. But God, if he wants to use you, you are never too young for God to use. God used the little maid that we discussed in Naaman. God used Daniel and his three friends. And in the New Testament, God used the lad with lunch that he fed the 5,000. God used the nephew of the Apostle Paul, his sister's son, to warn Paul. If it had not been for that nephew, however old he was old enough to come in and out of a prison without anybody worrying about him. He had to be just a kid. And yet he was a messenger of God to the Apostle Paul. Naturally, humanly speaking, without that nephew, we would not have had the Apostle Paul. Without the Apostle Paul, we would have not had most of the New Testament. My friend, God can use anyone. No wonder that Paul wrote to his son in the ministry, Timothy. Timothy, who was a boy, he said, I've known your grandmother, and I've known your mother, and how that they have great hopes and aspirations for you. And he told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth. Do not let anyone keep you from serving the Lord. And then, of course, you're never too old. I say too old because some people say, well, I'm too old. You never get too old. I told you the time that Brother Chick... How many of you remember Brother Chick? You know the bald-headed one? Little short bald-headed preacher from Oklahoma? Brother Chick? He is the one that told us a couple of things, among which was how that God is good, God is fair. To some, he gives brains, the others, hair. That was Brother Chick's favorite. He also told about visiting a nursing home or a hospital, and there was a woman that was celebrating her 100th birthday. 100 years. And her body wouldn't hardly move anymore, but her mind was just as sharp as could be. And she knew the Lord. Brother Chick had witnessed to her and talked to her a number of times, but that time they were having a party for her. 100th birthday. 100 years old. And so while they were all in there, why, Brother Chick talked to the family a bit, and then he said, tell me, Mrs. So-and-so, said, what do you attribute your long life to? And she said, come here, I'll tell you. So he came over there about this close, and she said, no, come closer. And so he came a little closer, and then she said, bend your ear down here. And he thought, well, she's got a secret that she doesn't want everybody else to know. And so he put his ear down closer to her bedside, and this was her answer in a good, strong, husky voice that you could hear clear out in the hallway. She said, keep breathing, brother, keep breathing. you want the secret of long life, just keep breathing. And so somebody starts to leave you in your family, grab a hold of them and say, keep breathing, brother, keep breathing. And so whether as long as you're breathing, God has a reason for you to be here. I do not believe in mercy killing. I do not believe in suicide. I believe in capital punishment. But I do not believe that we ever get too old that we can take our life or we can take the life of an old person just because they are old. I believe God has a purpose in our lives. No matter what your physical possibilities or abilities are, you never get too old. And we find that through the scripture. Abraham was 75 years old in Genesis 12 when God called him to go into a land that I will show thee of. Moses was 40 years old. He spent 40 years in Egypt in the king's palace, killed a man, and ran away. Spent 40 more years in the backside of the desert. And when he was 80 years old, God called him to preach. God called him to lead the children of Israel out of bondage into the promised land. He didn't make it to the promised land because he got mad one day and struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock. Be careful with your temper. So many times we think that we are so important that no matter what we do, it will be excusable. Now, Moses did not find that to be true. When he was 120 years old, still going strong, God had already told him, Moses, you cannot enter into the promised land. I will not let you go. And oh, Moses up on the mountain, he just pleaded with God, Lord, please, please let me go. God said, be quiet, Moses. I won't hear any more about this. He'd crossed the line. It's possible for God's people, called to the Lord to do something that God will not permit you to finish because you got out of line. You broke the rules. You did something that displeased God to the point that he said, that's enough. I'll not hear it anymore. You've got talents. You had a call. And you will regret what you have done. But God told Moses, it is not your 120 years old being that gets you into trouble. It is your hitting that rock instead of speaking to it. Now, that doesn't seem like a bad situation. I think I've done worse thing than that. Would you consider striking a rock instead of speaking to the stupid thing? Well, we wouldn't think that much of it, but God did. And God had told Moses, speak to the rock. The first time God told Moses to strike the rock, and water came out. The second time they had no water, God told Moses to speak to the rock. And Moses was so angry and so personally hurt at the way the people of God had been treating him and the Lord that he struck the rock and said, you bunch of rebels, drink. And God was displeased. So, be careful. Deuteronomy 34:7, Moses was 120 years old when he died, when God died him. He's one of the only men I know of that preached his own funeral. And he walked up into the mountain, and God took him. That's one of the first things I want to find out. I want to find out how did God take Moses. I also want to know what in the world happened when they threw the body of that man into the cave where, who was it, Elijah or Elisha was buried. And when the body touched the bones, he jumped up. He was alive. I want to know what happened after that. And when we get to heaven, we'll be able to find out. If you don't know your Bible, there's going to be a lot of things that you won't be happy about because you're not looking for it. But I want to know, you see, God told Moses, Moses, come up into the mountain. And there Moses and God. And the devil wasn't there. God saw to it that the devil wasn't there. Because over in the little book of Jude? I believe in the book of Jude. He makes mention how that the archangel Michael, was it Michael that argued with the devil over the body of Moses? Because the devil does not know where God buried Moses. They never did find his bones. As my little grandson would say, well, now, ain't that something? You never get too old to serve God. You never get too old to where that God can't use you. You never get so old that there isn't something interesting that can happen in your life besides waking up in the morning and going to bed at night. There was Zacharias in Luke chapter 1. We'll not turn over there. My time is gone. In Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, we find that Zacharias was well stricken in age. He was a temple in the house of God. God spoke to him one day while he was serving the Lord, while he was making a sacrifice. God spoke to him and said, Zacharias, your wife is going to have a baby. And Zacharias, with his mouth open, he said, how can that be? I am old and my wife is old. Do you know why that Zacharias could not speak for 9 months? How quiet it must have been in that household. A preacher not being able to speak for 9 months, that'd kill me. I'll bet he wrote, I bet he had a blackboard or something that he wrote notes to his wife all the time. 9 months he could not speak. Why? Because he said, I'm too old. He told God, said, Lord, my wife Elizabeth, she can't have a baby because she's too old. What he was saying was that, Lord, you don't know what you're talking about. Lord, there are some things, even with you, it is impossible. And for that unbelief, God made him dumb for 9 months. Because when John the Baptist was born, all the relatives came in and they had a party and they were really having an explosion around there. Here was this old woman that having a baby of an old man, and they wondered if the little baby was going to have whiskers. And he came out as John the Baptist. And they said, call him Zacharias. Elizabeth said no. Zacharias was shaking his head. They came to Zacharias and they handed him a tablet. I don't know whether it was a big chief or whether it was a national or what, but they handed him a tablet and a ballpoint pen and said, write down the name of your son. J-O-H-N. Just like me. John. John. Son of Zacharias. Not the son of Reuben. Son of Zacharias. Old. You know, God is eternal and age does not matter. 2 Peter 3:8, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And in all of 1 John 2:13, you have fathers, young men, and children that God wants to use. You can be saved as a little child. Suffer the little children to come unto me. Nicodemus said, can a man be born when he is old? When you're old or young, you can be saved. You can be used of God. God can use you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man therefore purge himself from these things that keep you from serving the Lord, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work, unto every good work. No age stipulation whatsoever. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Now in John 3:16 and John 3:36, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth. You know, there's no stipulations as far as age is concerned. Where in the Bible does it tell you that you have to be a certain age in order to be saved? Or you cannot be saved after that certain age? There's no stipulation. Age does not matter. And when it comes to serving God, Romans 12, 1 and 2, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Shall we stand for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts. If there's one here tonight that has never been saved, may they come before it's too late. Help them to realize, if they're not saved, that they've been waiting on something they should not. And the Bible teaches us that today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And then, Lord, we that are thy children, help us to realize that we need to redeem the time, for the days are evil and they are short, and the night cometh when no man shall work. God, help us to do this week what we ought to do, and not wait until some earthly thing is done. Bless, we pray, this invitation for Jesus' sake. Amen. What page, Brother Jimmy?
Page 317, 317, I live for him.
As we sing this invitation song, let God have his way in your heart and your life. Because today is the day of salvation, now is the accepted time. There's no better time than right now to be saved. If you are a child of God, there's no better time than right now for you to let God use you. Win that neighbor to the Lord. Talk to your co-workers. If you've not been a witness, begin opening your mouth and let God use you. As we sing the first verse of page 317, will you come as we sing?
I'll live for him.
How about it tonight?
Thou Lamb of God who died for me, oh, may I ever faithful be my Savior and my God. I'll live for him who died for me.
Savior and
about it tonight. To sing another verse, but before we do, I trust that you will not wait until you have too many regrets. I doubt if there's ever any of us that, however we live, that we will not have some regrets, because many times we do not see opportunities until it's too late. We've either been too busy, or we've been too occupied with other things or ourselves. Like Eli, we did not perceive at that particular time how precious that opportunity was. And we let opportunities go by until those people are no longer here. They've died, or they've moved away, or they're out of touch, or they're out of reach, and we no longer can. We look back and we can see opportunities we had, but at the time we were either too busy or we thought we'd wait until next time. And I trust that you let God speak to your heart, help you be sensitive to the opportunities that God has given you. He wants to use you. Now, whether you're too young or too old or in between, God wants to use every one of us. If He did not, we would be gone. We'd be gone to heaven already. If you're not saved, if God did not want you to get saved tonight, why, what would have happened to you? As we sing the next verse, will you come as we sing?
Verse 3. Oh, thou who died on Calvary
to save my soul and make me free, consecrate my life to Thee, my Savior and my God. I'll live for Him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be.
Will you come? Will you say yes?
Died for me, my Savior and my God.